You value your life, not a word.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 4, Episode 11, The Tao of Dawson. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Tara.
Oh, hi.
Hello, listeners. A few announcements before we get into this episode proper. There is no Again With This Friday because August has five of them. Little bastard. However, the August edition of Again With Them is dropping this Thursday, August 28th, a week early for reasons we will get to in just a moment. This is our monthly recap digest of that clank wagon known as the 90210 OMG podcast, and you should not listen to Jenny and Tori, only to us. We do hope that you'll do so. Please join us. That coverage is for our high rollers at the $5 level and up. Get on board. We have a good time, and we listen for you.
We do. We will be taking off from the main feed for Labor Day on Monday, September 1st. So in place of a regular episode, we'll be bringing two bonus episodes out from behind the Patreon paywall. That's going to be Again With This 226. Let's watch James Van Der Beek and Allie Larder in Varsity Blues. And Again With This 230, let's watch Luke Perry and Lyndon Ashby in 8 seconds. It's a Southern accent jamboree.
We will not be taking that week off from the Patreon. You will get bonus episodes 4 Fridays a month, every month. That week, we will be dropping Again With This 254. That's on Friday, September 5th. Let's watch Robin Dunn in Cruel Intentions 2, aka Manchester Prep. Mm-hmm. We just watched the original. Let's see the failed pilot spinoff. Why not?
It's on Daily Motion.
We'll link it in the show notes.
We sure will. And then we will be back to normal with our episode on Dawson's Creek Season 4, Episode 12, coming to you Monday, September 8th. Information on our Patreon episodes and so much more, including our campaign still ongoing. Let's get the stickers. AgainWithThisPodcast.com/club. Join us there. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, come on through.
Let's start this episode with our B plot. Drew brings a sitcom storyline to this teen drama. We open at the yacht club. An out-of-uniform Joey puts out a sign indicating that the dining room is closed with what is called annual renovations. Is that something country clubs do annually? Seems like a lot.
This club, like, materialized at the beginning of the season and, like everything else in Capeside, doesn't obey summer community rules, mm-hmm. I feel, of physics. So annual renovation seems like a lot for a club that probably has like 10 families on the rolls. But anyway,
regardless, Drew is flipping through his little black book, which really took me back to a time when I had a big address book at home and then a teeny little one the size of Drew's that I kept in my bag. And I would pull it out when I had to find a pay telephone and reach someone. Oh, the past. But this isn't about me, I guess. Clip two.
You know, this free time presents sort of a steak or lobster dilemma. Now, do I go cheerleader or drama club chick tonight? What do you think?
Flip a coin. Heads is bimbo, tails a skank.
Where's the love, huh?
After working with you for the last 6 days, I don't know. I guess I lost it.
How do you plan to observe your Sabbath?
Oh, a relaxing little experience known as researching my English term paper.
Let me guess. How to keep a boyfriend and your virginity, or the many uses of the human hand?
Finally, a subject you know all about.
Very good, Joey. Very good. You see, that is what we refer to as a comeback or a retort. I believe in French it's riposte.
Okay, SAT.
Think they think they're hanging a light on the over-synonymizing of the dialogue, but you're still doing it, so just stop doing it.
Mrs. Valentine bustles in to say that Drew's father's spirit guide told him he can leave his crystals and meditation mat for a business trip to New York, and he wants to see Drew tonight. And what we hear at this point is completely at odds with what we hear later about Drew's father. Like, figure out what this guy's deal is, because this is two different kinds of unbearable person.
Yeah. Also, we already have that guy. It was Dylan's mom. You know, Yes. Get your own mind gym, Dawson's Creek.
Maybe Dylan's mom is Drew's father's spirit guide. Let's not rule it
out. Huh.
Drew disagrees that this is good news, but child support is still under negotiation, so Mrs. Valentine has a bus ticket for him already. And no, he does not have a choice other than he can sit on the bus wherever he wants. She takes off. Joey looks like she feels a tiny bit bad for him before leaning into his face and wishing him bon voyage. And she's on her way out when Drew says all the boxes and chairs in the room have to go into storage. And even though he is definitely not her manager, she just lets him order her around for some reason. Get a job at the video store? Maybe. Dawson and Pacey definitely don't work there anymore. I know there's no tips, but there's no tips here either. You're closing down for the season.
Yeah. Make Bessie pay you to help her?
Mm-hmm.
There's labor laws anyway.
And it's such a success, we heard, when she got back from her summer of boat.
Mm-hmm.
When we see Drew and Joey later, he's not on the bus. He's haranguing her as she tries to get all the shit from upstairs into the storage room, although at least he's helping. When she strains to put a box on a high shelf, refusing his assistance, even though he is so much taller than she is, and she's not short either.
No, she's not. She's like my height, I think. Mm-hmm. So he's a full head taller than her.
Yeah.
Just take the help. I know it's him, but come on.
He then slides a couple of boxes inside the room, not knowing they were propping the door open so that Joey and Drew didn't get locked inside. So Joey and Drew get locked inside. And as she glares, Drew tries to open the door and then breaks off the knob. She looks for another way out, but Drew says they're going to be stuck there until the cleaners arrive on Monday morning. Because this high traffic yacht club gets cleaned less often than the school, based on what we were told about that cleaning crew. Possibly the same cleaning crew? Who's to say?
Mm.
Later, Joey's pounding on the door and yelling, and Drew's sitting calmly behind her, saying she's going to hurt herself. She goes for her bag to try to pick the lock with an eyebrow pencil. He's like, what? Do you know how to do that? She's like, I'm just trying shit. Like, that's a bad thing to try. Bobby pin, maybe, but also probably not. When her back is turned, he blames everything on her refusing his help with a box and the shelf while rooting through her shit when her back is turned. When she sees this, she snatches her bag away, but he was just looking for rations. Between his Slim Jim and her two Altoids, they could have a snack and fresh breath. She threatens to stab him with her eyebrow pencil if he doesn't stop fucking with her, and he grins because she is giving him exactly what he wants. Attention! And later, it's gotten cold enough for Drew to try to guilt Joey into sharing her sweater. If he dies, he gives her permission to eat him, but she notices there are cans on one of the shelves. And when she climbs up to see if any of them are fit to eat, clip three.
You're going to fall and break your neck, at which point I am taking your sweater. Hey, I wonder how they're going to get to play you in a TV version of Our Ordeal, huh? Probably be some former teen series idol who's trying to break into features.
Shut up.
Okay, you go right ahead. I'm sure Lacey Chabert can't wait to cop an attitude and win the Emmy.
Jealous.
Turned out okay for her. It I would did. Say.
I mean, he was never in a movie after this other than Sweet Home Alabama. She was in Mean Girls. She's a legend forever for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like a Hallmark lead horse. So good for her.
Yep. Joey snaps at Drew to shut up, then finds a can, but it's older than she is. And then she puts it back for someone else to throw away later, I guess. And then does fall. But Drew rushes forward and catches her in his arms quite chivalrously, so much so that he seems to think he is entitled to kiss her. And she shoves him away and then punches him hard in the face. And he tells her she could have just said thanks. And this is the moment where I started to see it with Drew. So I just wanted you to know I'm not on board, but I get it more than I did before. This was well staged, this moment, I thought, all parts of it.
He does have store brand Eric Balfour energy, even though like actual store brand Eric Balfour is Eric Balfour probably. And I think that they don't always know what to do with him. And so like sometimes he's supposed to be in the Cliff slot and sometimes he's usually supposed to be Abby Morgan, but a boy.
Mm-hmm.
So when they finally figure out maybe like maybe give him a little backstory and do something a little screwball-y that's actually thought through, then other people see it. Like, I, up to this point, understand why people are like, this dude's just a chode, but I remembered him having something. It might have started here, that it's like, okay, if you're trying to do a, like, Cary Grant thing, go off.
Yeah.
Why not?
Sometime later, Drew is holding a sardine can to his bruised cheek and angrily refusing further help from Joey. She says if anyone should be angry, it's her. But he says he was just acting on the moment with that kiss. And how did a pretty girl like her get so mean? Busboys, he says, are terrified of her and call her El Toro. Which, if true or false, either way, funny.
Mm.
Joey says that living on her own caused her to develop a decent outer shell, rude to Bessie, her guardian. She also has a good right cross, Drew adds. And then he says, at least her father's in prison. Spending time with his is like being in prison. He was pretty cool until Drew walked in on him fooling around on the kitchen floor with some other woman. And that plus, like, we knew he's some kind of richy finance guy in New York. Like, if he runs in the same circles as Jen's parents, like, this is not a person with a spirit guide. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no. Or a soul, period.
Right. Right. So he shivers and rubs his hands together. Drew does, not his dad. His dad is not here. So Joey finally takes off her sweater, sits next to him, and lays the sweater across his lap. Drew asks if Pacey's not going to be checking hospitals for her, but she says he's out of town, which we'll get to. Drew doesn't know how Joey can stay in a relationship with someone who's so different from her. She doesn't think they are that different, but Drew says, clip four.
Irresponsible and reasonable. He's reckless and rash.
Not for a few seasons. Last week, he was mostly playing with a baby, you know?
But yeah. And we haven't been seeing her at peak reasonableosity lately, but sure. Mm-hmm. Alliterate at will, writers.
Sure. But what Joey says is that Pacey's recklessness constantly surprises her and his rashness makes him intensely passionate. And those differences make for a richer relationship, which no one her or probably any age would have this kind of fluency about their relationship outside of a journal. But OK.
Agree.
Drew says that may be true in high school, but Harvard's not going to admit Pacey alongside Joey just to keep the world's cutest couple together. And Joey offers Drew a broken nose to go with his black eye instead of focusing on him saying they're cute, because they are sometimes. In the morning, what I'll be generous and call a mouse is crawling around a shelf of glasses when Joey wakes up to the sound of church bells, sees where she is, and crabs that she hoped it was just a nightmare. Drew's no happier to be there than she is, he says. Plus, she kept him awake with her snoring. She's surprised she was able to sleep with his BO, and then something buzzes. When she digs in his pocket, she discovers he has had an operational charged cell phone on him this whole time. And caught, Drew says this, clip five.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
The lilt on I forgot
really got me.
She answers and tells whoever is calling where they are and then hangs up and accuses Drew of having orchestrated this whole thing. He can't believe she would really think he'd go to all this trouble just to get her to fall asleep on his shoulder. Joey suggests he might have done more than that without her knowing, and we get this, clip six.
I resent that. I was a complete gentleman. I absolutely did not peek down your shirt at your eggshell-colored 34C maidenform wire rim bra with a little cute little pink bow on the front clasp.
Wire rimmed?
It's like glasses.
Yeah, have you seen a bra before?
Yes.
Cretin?
That's not the term. But also, there wouldn't be a bow on the clasp. That would get in the way of it clasping. And I don't know how he determined the size without waking her up. I'm also not sure she's a Zika.
Also, she's not wearing that size. Sorry. No.
Joey doesn't have a chance to yell at him for that because Mrs. Valentine bursts in, clip seven.
Mother, thank God.
God, what have you done to my son?
Ask him. It was all his doing.
Oh, you're actually going to suggest that my son would rather be locked in a closet with you than spend the weekend with his father?
I'll see you at school, Joe.
Poor Drew.
Yeah. This actually is less annoying to watch than I thought it was going to be, or that I've remembered it as being. Couple nice moments for both of them, but like, it's one thing that Pacey sort of didn't miss Joey gone, but that nobody else, including his mother, who like lives on the property, right? Like, don't they have an apartment on the in the building? Like, why didn't anyone else notice that they were gone for what seemed like 15 hours?
Right. Well, she thought he was going to New York. So this might have been until his terrible dad was like, where is he? And then she was like,
oh yeah, true. Anyway, doesn't matter. All better.
All better indeed. On to the A plot. Pacey schemes to split up Dawson and Gretchen while Dawson tries to protect Love Among the Raisins. For their first one-on-one hang in months, Dawson has apparently made Pacey go fishing at dawn in January. Truly could not look less like winter, as you will see in the visual aids. For a hit show in WB terms, they did not get budget for production design. Like, it's so green.
And also, if it were realistic looking, you're a terrible friend.
Yes.
Find a coffee shop. We know they exist.
When Pacey complains about how early it is, Dawson says he has to tell Pacey something he thinks is going to keep him awake. Dawson likes Gretchen. Pacey uses 4 million words to figure out what kind of like he means and then tries to brush it off by saying Dawson's had a crush on her for years. Dawson says this is more than that and that he thinks she feels the same even though she won't admit it. Pacey remains pretty calm or possibly just sleepy as he tries to digest this. Clip 8.
Last spring, if you'd come to me and just told me how you felt about Joey, it would have made things a hell of a lot easier, so that's all I'm trying to do.
Dawson, you and I are friends. Friends. But sisters. Sisters are...
Off limits?
Yes. Sisters are off limits. They're like mothers, only pretty.
Not to be the person who says everything is rape culture. That's rape culture, though. That's one step away from dads who are weird about their daughters dating. Yeah. Let's treat people like they have agency, even if they are women, I feel.
Yeah. Jeez.
Also, like mothers only pretty, Bessie and Gail, real dogs, I guess, according to Pacey.
Yeah. The whole thing is just like, there is a way to do this that's like, I don't want to think about a sibling fucking.
Right.
That isn't quite so patriarchalist.
Mm-hmm. Regardless, clip 9.
I'm not asking for your permission, Tace. I'm just letting you know. So what are your plans?
My plans?
Yeah, to pursue my sister. What are you going to do?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Okay.
Well, what kind of plan is nothing?
Well, I've just decided to let things play out. It's one thing I learned after last spring, it's that some things can't be forced.
So then your plan would be to not have a plan?
Exactly.
The Tao of Dawson is to do nothing.
Done nothing so far, we've already kissed. Maybe the best thing I can do is just keep on doing nothing.
I could do without the tone, but good for him to just be like, look, I'm just telling you.
Yeah. After the credits, exposition! Gretchen is driving fast enough to alarm Pacey so that she can make it to school, pick up her car, and leave before dark. Pacey doesn't know why it's suddenly so urgent for her to get it back from the friends who borrowed it for the past 4 months, and she says it's just one friend, and actually it's her ex-boyfriend, Nick. Pacey claims to have always liked Nick. She says they only met once when she brought Nick home for Christmas, but Pacey believes he knows enough. Clip 10.
I know that he likes the Patriots, pretzels, and a good party. I know he'd rather sleep and sail than study. Plus, the man has excellent taste in music. His favorite song is Freebird.
You just described yourself.
Well, great men think alike. I think that it is wonderful the two of you are going to get to spend a little quality time together.
Does your sudden proclivity for my ex-boyfriend have anything to do with a certain fair-haired pal of yours?
Who, Dawson? Now, why should I care about Dawson? You assured me that that kiss meant nothing. Even though, you know, it really didn't look like nothing. Because, you know, it kind of went on a little bit long to be nothing. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't think it's nothing. But if you said it's nothing, it's nothing.
Dawson and I are just friends. That's it. Trust me.
Okay.
Guess you've earned my trust. This music doesn't entirely suck.
Great tunes for Gretchen from Dawson.
Such a good line delivery. It's like, from Dawson, like just the little turn that it takes that he's like, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
Pacey teases about the mix CD, how sweet, but then changes the subject back to Nick. Not only smart, but also quite handsome and probably works out. At the Leary house, Jack is helping Dawson move furniture in preparation to paint what is about to be the baby's room. Dawson asks if it was weird for Jack when Pacey was dating Andy because Pacey really doesn't like the idea of Dawson dating Gretchen. which so far from what we've seen and heard, including in this episode, Gretchen doesn't either. But Jack says he didn't really know Pacey at the time. But if he had to think about Dawson and Andy dating now, he wouldn't love it. And that's when Gail and Mitch enter and exposit that they are waffling on whether to find out what's going on with the baby crotch-wise. Dawson doesn't actually comical. These fucking people, I take, you can see in the visual aids as they rattle on. Clip 11.
You know, whatever you guys decide is fine. Just let me know so I can figure out what to do with the pink and blue paint that I have on hold.
They were not even doing that shit when my sister was born, which was in 1982. Like, paint it yellow, yeah. Call it a day, which, spoiler, they're gonna.
Yeah. Or, like, green, gray. There's all kinds of not this gender reveal bomb party shit that you can do. Just get on with your lives. Fuck.
Dawson finds the last letter he ever wrote Gretchen in the throes of his crush. But obviously, since he still has it, he never sent it. He laughs at how lovesick it is. Jack suggests that he say some of that to Gretchen now, but Dawson says he has told her how he feels. Jack doesn't think he's told her like this, and Dawson says, no, he's told her like an adult, which he actually did in the last episode. Yeah. I can't even shit on it. Season 4, Dawson, I don't even know who I am anymore. Not hating his guts.
I know. I just remember recapping this sequence of episodes and being like, you sort of look around and you're like, I haven't caps locked at Dawson in like a week.
Yeah.
What is this strange place where I am not, like, my gorge of loathing is not rising all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a pretty efficient turnaround given how low they brought him.
Oh,
so,
yes.
Yeah. Well done.
Jack says that if Dawson told her like a kid, he might be with her right now. Dawson says the last time he tried acting like a kid in terms of his feelings, he ruined a boat race, which is not exactly how he put it. It is what happened, though. Dawson says that Gretchen knows how he feels about her, and if it's meant to be, it'll happen. And Jack compliments his zen attitude. And then we're in College Town. She's ready to get the car and go, but Pacey points out that her turn straight back around plan isn't going to happen since the car is up on at least two blocks. Pacey and Gretchen are debating whether there's a good explanation for this when Nick, played by Christian Kane, future star of Angel and Leverage, comes out hugging a girl as she carries a weekender bag to her car and Pacey watches, Gretchen looking wistful. And as this other broad pulls off, Gretchen stomps up to Nick, barreling through his compliments. She just wants her car back now and to get as far away from him as possible. Credit to the casting department. He actually looks college age to me, including that his hair is terrible. There's like springy, springy, sticky outy bangs like over his front hairline that is of the time, not flattering though.
Yeah, there's also some highlight chunks in there that's like, this is absolutely on point. And every time I see older Christian Kane and it's like, oh, we're still doing the long hair.
Yeah.
There are certain guys that it's like, don't touch a thing. Just leave it.
Yeah.
Condition it every now and then. Because this is not a short hair guy, but very good casting here, for sure.
Nick says he knows he said the car was fine, but when he checked it this morning, some carburetor-related part wasn't working. Pacey and Nick tag team explaining about Gretchen knows that anything to do with a carburetor doesn't require taking the tires off. Nick claims she had low treads and she can hate him all she wants, but he couldn't live with himself if something happened to her, and she tries not to look too touched by this. Pacey just cheerfully thanks Nick for looking out for her. Gretchen snarks about Nick being a protector of women, and he says the person who just left is his housemate, Laura. He asked her to clear out so Gretchen could stay in her room, and Gretchen can leave as soon as the car is ready if she wants, but all her friends are going to be there tonight, so she might want to crash. And by the time she's washed up, he will have a veggie burger ready for her. And at this point, I was like, this guy's just considerate. I mean, it takes a turn, but like, this is a good prelude to what's going on, because it's thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
Also, she's been gone and presumably broken up with him for months. Like, he can fool around with Laura if he wants. Relax.
Yeah.
And then Nick grabs Pacey for an imported beer and Gretchen fumes. Back in Capeside, Dawson's bringing a box of clothes for the church donation box to Graham's house when she and Mr. Brooks come out all cute and flirty, saying they'll see each other tonight and calling each other by their first names like a real couple of fucking sluts. Just kidding. This smile on Mr. Brooks, the biggest we've seen from him on this show, maybe the biggest I've seen ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he looks up and sees Dawson standing there like a real boner killer. And as Mr. Brooks gets into his car, Dawson tells Grams why he's there and then sticks his nose in her business about it. She scoffs that at her age, one does not date. She and Mr. Brooks are having dinner tonight at Gail's restaurant and then going to see Almost Famous, but they're not dating. Dawson says it sounds like they are. She asks if he's this protective of Jen, who's not in this episode at all, by the way, other than this mention. He says that Jen is well-versed in the pitfalls of relationships. Graham says that even though she hasn't felt like this since her husband died, she's well-versed too, but thanks Dawson for his concern. And to be fair, Dawson wasn't there when she told the story about flying across the country to kiss a guy during the war. So He doesn't know. She's got this. In the cedar hot tub out back of College House, Nick is selling Pacey on college life. Clip 12.
Imagine an environment where nearly the whole city's your age. Beer flows like tap water. Parties are ubiquitous and eternal. The whole thing's paid for by cheap long-term government loans.
Do not believe his lies. I mean, yeah. They were true at the time, I guess, but not now. Go to HVAC school.
I do that anyway, listener. I wish I had and still might.
Pacey's feeling it and they agree on how much high school sucks, but college is a fresh start where you can be whoever you want. This is when Gretchen appears to hassle them. Nick invites her to join them in the hot tub, but she declines. And when she gets called away by another friend, Nick watches her ass a little possessively. Clip 13.
No offense, but I must say, Oliver is fine.
No offense taken. And now that you mention it, she could really use a guy like you in her life.
She doesn't have a guy in her life back home?
Nope.
I'm telling you, you should go for it, my friend.
Yeah, that's bad younger bro sib code. Sorry, Pacey. You of all people.
Also, so it wasn't about sisters being off limits. It's about sisters being off limits to Dawson.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, not unfair.
Sure.
But...
At the Leary house, the painters are getting ready to work, Jack commenting on what will be the 18-year age difference between Dawson and his sibling. When said sibling graduates high school and is starting their life, 36-year-old Dawson's will be pretty much over. Ouch. Rude.
Wow.
36? Not even 40? Wow. Come on. When Jack has to get Dawson's attention, Dawson admits he's distracted by worry that Grams is going to get her heart broken by Mr. Brooks. Jack is psyched for the goss and happy that Grams will have someone to hang out with. But then Dawson breaks Mr. Brooks's confidence by telling Jack he's dying. Although I guess the likelihood that Jack's going to spread it around is low. Jack can't believe Grams would be seeing a dying man so soon after her husband's death, like 2.5 seasons ago, by the way. And Dawson says Mr. Brooks hasn't told her, which is a huge assumption. It turns out to be true, yeah. But still, huge assumption. Jack states that Dawson has to tell her. No, he doesn't, in my opinion. Not your business.
No.
Dawson doesn't want to, and Jack claims that if Dawson doesn't, Jack will, because the only reason Grams is happy is that she doesn't know. Dawson doesn't think that's such a bad thing, so Jack puts it in Dawson-centric terms. Clip 14.
You were happy before you found out about Pacey and Joey seeing each other. Now, would you have rather stayed in the dark, or would you have rather someone come to you and told you the difficult truth at the beginning?
Not the same situation. You're out of your element, Donnie. No. Shut up.
What? Nice. Well played by you. Yeah, it's not the same situation. And everyone really is assuming that Dawson would have either believed what he heard from Pacey or would have been like, that's fair. You know, Joey is grown up and can make her choice. Like, we saw how he behaved. There was no good outcome from telling him, which is why they didn't. There was a good outcome for them, which was that he was like, I hate you both, never speak to me again, and stomped off from them in a park in Century City. But, you know, they didn't know that then, and I understand that. That's A. B, Grams, as we will hear her say, I assume, in a clip, is a nurse who lives in the world and can read an actuarial table. Like, it's not like she thinks they have 50 years together. Yeah. They don't.
We'll get to that. At the party, Nick asks Gretchen about Capeside and she tries to make it sound great, although at least the part about her house by the water is not bullshit. Nick refuses to believe her when she says she doesn't miss college life because, he says, she sticks out her chin when she's hiding something and talks about the little line in her chin that always drove him crazy. Gretchen says it's not going to work, but she should probably be trying harder to make it look like it's not working currently. She has just told him she's not going to fall for his sensitive boy routine and go upstairs to see his guitar when Pacey joins them and gushes about how great it is to see them together. Gretchen takes off and Pacey claims she is crazy about Nick and talked about him the whole drive there. Talk shit, but sure. Pacey says Nick and Gretchen were meant to be together. What happened? Nick says their lives just moved in separate directions. And then Nick points out a redhead eyeing Pacey down. And clip 15.
I don't think that'd be such a grand idea.
My name's Christy. She likes horses, water sports, and back rubs from guys just like you, buddy. You can't go wrong.
Oh, but I can go wrong. There's someone back at home that would think that that's a very, very bad idea.
A certain someone here? I don't think so. And I am definitely not going to say anything. Second room upstairs to the left. Collins are in a cigar box next to the futon. I'm going to go talk to your sister.
Nick.
Hey, don't mention it, man. Guys like me and you, we gotta look out for each other.
Condoms are in a cigar box by the futon.
Next to the futon. A more collegey thing, twas never uttered.
Nope. Elsewhere, Gramps is in the kitchen arranging flowers when Dawson stops by on his way to Mr. Brooks's, suddenly noticing how nice she looks and saying so. And she does, as you'll see in the visual aids, have her hair completely down, which we never see. It does make her look a lot more youthful. She smiles cutely at the compliment and says she hopes the dress isn't too much because she wouldn't want anyone to think they were dating. And Dawson laughs and then winces, and then clip 16.
Getting into a new relationship can be intoxicating.
You know, I notice you aren't bearing any clothes for the church, and I know that you know Jennifer is away at a fishing concert.
Fish broke up. It's widespread panic.
I know a bank where the wild thyme blows, where ox lips and the nodding violet grows. Oh, dear. Now, what was it you wanted to talk about, Dawson?
I just wanted to say have a great time tonight.
I know he's sick.
You do.
Isn't that what you were trying to tell me?
Yeah, so he told you.
Of course not. Arthur Brooks wouldn't just come right out and tell someone that.
Well, then how did you know?
I've been a nurse for 47 years and a woman a few years longer than that.
But if you know, how can you start something with him?
It's very simple. We laugh together. We share the same interests. We look at life the same way. Do you know how hard it is to find a friend like that, Dawson?
Yeah, I think I do. But I also know how hard it can be when that doesn't last.
Yeah. A moment. A single moment of true joy is more powerful than a lifetime of sorrow.
Also, as Mr. Brooks is about to tell Dawson, like, everyone is dying, you know, like, yeah. No one is promised anything, whether they're sick or not.
If you're going to butt in, please just butt it. I love that the show's like, they turn the, what you want to talk about? Mm. Nothing. And then mm-hmm. Grams is like, we're not doing this in a scene that I'm in. So,
yep.
Let me just explain to you, Virgin, a few things.
Back to College Town. No virgins there, where Pacey's pulling Gretchen outside to say Nick puts the A in hole, which, okay, clever, I guess, to get around the censor. Gretchen's like, yeah, I told you that. Pacey guesses Nick is the reason Gretchen left school, and she says she is. Clip 17.
So what happened? What did he do to you?
Nothing I didn't allow to happen. Look, it's my fault, too, you know. I can't just blame him, and neither should you.
For what?
I got pregnant. I had a miscarriage.
I'm sorry. Rich. I would not have been trying to force the two of you back together. I'm sorry. So how did he react when he found out?
He doesn't know. I didn't want to interrupt his plans to sleep with half the Theta house.
What a dick. What a dick. I can't believe I was hanging out with that guy thinking how cool he was. I am gonna...
No, you are not. Okay, I am not a victim here, Pacey. And I don't want him to know. You know, nobody knows about this except Dawson.
You told Dawson Leary before you told me?
He's my friend.
I'm your brother.
with a very specific idea of how a sister is supposed to behave.
Cough, cough, rape culture. I will say, in the middle of this, after she says she had a miscarriage, there's like a beat where we see a two shot of them and Pacey sort of like reaches out like he's gonna hug her and then decides against it in a very, it's a very subtle moment where it's like, if I hug her, she might cry. I don't want to do this to her right now. But it still lets you know as a viewer, he's not just like leaving that unremarked upon, as it were.
That is actually, you noted this in the visual aids and I sort of expanded on it a little in the caption. Like, we don't always buy them as siblings, but here, especially, like, this is, it's probably all in the acting. So credit to Joshua Jackson, but this is absolutely what your sort of like grown younger brother is. He's like paralyzed with what to do. Hug you, offer to kick the guy's ass, just go and kick the guy's ass and not ask your permission, but also not invade your space. And especially for wasps, it's like, there's a lot of things I could do, but which ones shouldn't I do? So part of why Joshua Jackson at this time reminded me of my own brother is because of this. Like, they really don't look alike, but there was a certain physicality of the younger brother that Joshua Jackson always inhabited really convincingly, and this scene was peak that. Well done all around.
Agree. The scene is not over. Pacey sees, as Gretchen says, she left school to work on becoming the person that she wants to be. He sighs that at least now she knows who Nick really is, and she snickers that everything Pacey liked about Nick is what she still likes as well, which is when Nick himself comes out, throws a proprietary arm around her as he gives her a fresh beer. Do not take an open drink from this man, and steers her back inside while Pacey reels. And then Dawson's over at Mr. Brooks' is going over the footage of Mr. Brooks saying, God, I miss her, about his ex, and asking why Mr. Brooks would want to cut it before the scene is over. Mr. Brooks, getting ready for his not date, crabs that nobody's saying anything. Dawson says that Mr. Brooks' face is saying a lot, and Mr. Brooks admits Dawson is developing an eye. And then he asks Dawson for advice. He's grown very fond of Grams lately and wants her to know, but would giving her a pair of black pearl earrings be too much? And he shows Dawson, I feel like regular pearls are more Grams, but that wasn't the question. They're nice earrings, but they don't feel like her to me.
Yeah, no, she seems like more of a Marcosite, filigree. They're nice earrings, though. Better than the 90210 ring department could have come up with, God knows.
God. Dawson doesn't think he's in a position to give advice about this. Mr. Brooks takes a long beat, then asks if the issue is that a dying man just said he loves a woman who's like a grandmother to Dawson. Instead of answering that, Dawson asks if Mr. Brooks knows what Grams went through with her late husband. Mr. Brooks does and guesses Dawson's next question is how Mr. Brooks could put her through that again. The one thing worse than the pain of loss is the aching void of inaction, and Grams couldn't live with that. She knows he's sick. Clip 18.
So she knows and you know she knows, and yet neither one of you have said anything about it.
No need. Get to the end of the race, both obvious and inevitable. Make no mistake about it, kid. God intends to kill us all. You'll find that you don't have to have your life dictated by the cosmos. You fall in love with the wrong woman, you tell fate to piss off, you don't like its plans for you. Sure, it's a heartache to be had, but it's a small price to pay for living and dying on your own terms.
Give her the earrings.
Thank you, kid.
Aw.
Yeah, I mean, don't encourage him, but also I like that the Q-tips were both like, well, he's just Dawsoning and it's not as bad as usual, so let's give him grace.
Yeah. Corollary to the they fixed Dawson in season 4 is the way they gradually built this relationship between him and Mr. Brooks in a really credible way, from I hate your fucking guts, you little brat, to I'm asking your advice about life events. I thought they did a nice job with that, too.
Neither is it like Dawson is still, you know, early seasons Dawson, where you're like, who fucking cares what he thinks?
Yeah.
But also, Mr. Brooks is not the same as he was. So they have evolved it at the right pace so that it's not jarring that this would be happening. And you don't feel it's like the senior Walsh is being like, should we move to Hong Kong? Like, who cares what Low Pockets thinks? So, yeah, impressive.
Back to the party where Nick asks Gretchen if she ever thinks about him. Rarely, she claims, and then revises that to occasionally. Nick says they're old friends, which means they know each other. She says there are a lot of things he doesn't know about her. He doesn't ask what and just says he knows that she has gotten more beautiful and asks her up to his room to talk about the rest. And I see the smooth talking gigolo conference got out early. Staring at his mouth, she chuckles that he hasn't changed. He says she knows who he is. Isn't that why she came? They both know it's not about the car, which I would go a pretty long way for that car. I don't know if it's an actual Bronco, but it looks like that style. It's very cute.
Mm-hmm. And presumably all of this went down in the backseat of that car, right?
I would
have avoiding studying. So it's got landmark status. Come on.
As Gretchen visibly melts, Nick says that she's come a long distance. Doesn't she want to come the rest of the way? I get it. Nick gets up and holds a hand out, and Pacey watches as they go upstairs, and she leaves her beer on the newel post, and then behind her, Nick picks it up. Again, what are his plans for this drink? Don't take it.
Ask for a fresh, sealed bottle of water.
Mm-hmm. But then Nick is leading Gretchen into the bone zone where music is playing and candles are lit. She comments that he seems to have been expecting company, and he just closes the door and puts his arm around her, saying he missed her. And as she says she can't believe this is happening again, he murmurs that she knew it would, has been thinking about it since she left, etc., etc. And they kiss, and he rolls over onto her, but she pushes him off, saying that used to be enough. He guesses he's what they told her to stay away from, but that's why a girl like Gretchen wants a guy like Nick. And he tries again to kiss her, and she pushes him off again, staring at the ceiling as she says he's totally right. And she just realized she's not that girl anymore. When she looks at Nick, he's already asleep, and she gives him a peck on the cheek and thanks him and slips out. And the next morning, she comes out to see Pacey getting her car ready. He also found the tires on which the treads were fine, although he also says she just needed a couple of flats patched, so maybe Nick wasn't as big a liar as he seemed. Also, please get new tires before you get on the road.
Yeah, seriously. You don't need factory originals. That car is like from the 70s. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Patches are for emergencies, and this isn't. Like, figure it out. But anyway, they go on. Clip 19.
Fix the car. Just wish I could do the same thing for your life.
Pacey.
Now, I don't understand why you'd fall for such a self-centered, egocentric jerk like Nick. Yeah, I know that you were a cheerleader all during high school, and I know that you always had the good grades and the good behavior and the good boyfriends, and I can understand that maybe you just got a little tired of being good all the time, and I understand that people get tempted. But why this guy? He's an ass. I guess it's kind of my fault I pushed you into the guy.
No, this is not your fault.
Well, it is kind of my fault. I wanted you to be with him. I wanted you to be with somebody that I understood. I wanted you to be with somebody who was maybe a little bit more like me.
You are nothing like Nick.
Oh, regardless. You deserve someone who's going to listen to you and commit to you. You deserve someone who's going to make you the absolute center of their universe. You deserve somebody...
Someone like Dawson?
Oh. That's not what I said.
That's what you meant.
I guess.
I mean, but credit for the spirit of the speech.
Mm-hmm. Yes, agreed. Gretchen says she came back to say goodbye to Nick and that she got the strength to do that from Pacey. She very awkwardly, I didn't clip it because it was so awkward, but she claims that sisters look to their brothers for cues on how they should be treated. Given what we know about Doug, Gretchen should expect to be treated like a queen. Just kidding. But what she says is she knows she deserves better than Nick because Pacey treats her so well. Like, okay, he's the guy we know, but like, I would think she would mean her older brother more so than Pacey.
Yeah, that was weird.
But they hug. It's cute. Pacey asks if that means she also thinks she deserves better music because he has a Pink Floyd CD to lend her. I think Gretchen, the rave habitué and record store lecturer, is the last person you want to try to lend music to, but... She says there's a mix that she wants to listen to, and Pacey decides to allow it. And then, painting the baby's room yellow, like I said, Dawson asks Jack if he believes in fate. Does he ever wonder if he could have changed what happened to his shoulder, for example? Remember that? Beginning of the season? Jack's shoulder? Jack's thought about that a million times and decided thinking about it is more debilitating than the injury. Dawson is, of course, actually talking about Mr. Brooks and Grams, and Jack suggests that Mr. Brooks finds strength in taking action, and Grams takes comfort in her faith. Clip 20.
The arbitrary nature of life and love, I mean, it, you know, it can be frightening. Everybody has their own way of coping with it. Even you.
What does that mean?
Well, don't you think it's possible what's driving this this doubt of yours is nothing more than fear?
I'm just trying not to make the same mistakes I've made in the past.
Oh, has it ever occurred to you, Dawson-san, that maybe they're not mistakes at all? Maybe this is exactly where you're supposed to be at this moment in time, with a girl that you wanted way before Joey Potter, holding a letter that expresses exactly how you feel about her.
This is a risky move. I don't know if Dawson wants to be like, here's what I thought about you when you were in high school and I was 10.
Yeah. Also, like, as established, he's not pining in silence. He put it out there and he was normal about it. And she was like, happy holidays. And then they went about their lives.
Mm-hmm. Gretchen gets home and finds a note taped to a post on the porch. It is, of course, the note. And we're going to get to it in a second. But as she reads it, we see the other storylines wrapping up. Grams and Mr. Brooks sit together on her swing in the yard, where he hands her the earring box and she is adorably overcome. Gail and Mitch watch the video of the sonogram. Nobody cares. Pacey and Joey canoodle on her dock. Dawson is hammering a lid onto a paint can when Gretchen pulls up in her adorable little car and tearfully walks straight to him, note in her hands, the contents of which are this, clip 21.
Dear Gretchen, I really enjoyed talking to you in your room today. Try not to be nervous about starting high school. I know you're going to find people who understand you. It's something that I didn't get a chance to tell you. There's someone truly special in my life that I can't stop thinking about. She's unlike anyone I've ever met. Smart and funny and beautiful, and just knowing that she's in my life has given me this constant fluttering that keeps me awake at night. When I think about who I can talk to about this, who will understand, the only person that comes to mind is you. And that's a problem. Because you are the one that I feel this way about. I think about you constantly. Every little thing you do. The Elvis Costello sticker you put on your spiral notebook. The way your bangs have grown out every day now for 6 months until Monday when you were finally able to put it all in a ponytail. And today, when you invited me to stay and talk to you after Pacey left, it occurred to me that you must think about me too. If I tried to tell anyone else, they would say that you and I are impossible. That our lives are too different, that we could never be right for each other, but we understand each other, and we care about each other. And years from now, I believe that we still will. Your friend forever. Love, Dawson.
I don't know why this is the thing that changes her mind, honestly.
No. Because, like, if she was about to start high school, he... So they're, like, both seniors right now, we assume, right?
I don't know.
Like, she's a junior in college, maybe?
Yeah, I don't think we know what year she was in.
But she's supposed to be about 21, and he's around 18.
Right.
Almost 18.
So if she was 14 starting high school, he was, like, 10 or 11.
Yeah. And in, like... fifth grade. Like, I know that this is just the show and everything's always overwritten and hyperverbal, but this is just really weird. And also, like, the form that him thinking about her all the time would have taken, like, it's really not a huge step to one side to realize that it's, you know, Fap City and Dawson was the mayor. Like, what are we... It's too bad because this is like sort of a charming episode or time of the show for Dawson. And then they just sort of kind of stepped in it with this timeline, which it makes no sense that a 10 and a half year old would be like, you're a friend for life. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. Knuckle shuffle. Got it.
Yes. But also, like, it was so much better expressed in the previous episode when he was just like, look, I like you. And then she was like, nah. And then for him to then go from that conversation to telling Pacey, I like your sister, like, she already said, nah, like, wait for her to change her mind if she's going to. Don't be informing Pacey about something that's, by the way, not happening at the time that you're telling him.
Which is also what you're informing him. Like, Dawson's whole thing this episode is like Zen and the art of doing fuck all about it because I already did what I could do. And when I tried to push it last year, I drove her away.
Yep.
So if the character is already aware that this shit doesn't work, why is he letting himself be talked into it by people who are drawing a parallel between this and a situation that is not similar? let Dawson be cool. He was fine.
But it works. Clip 22.
What took you so long?
I had a few things to do first.
A kiss again. It's alright, I'm okay. I think I can explain. I'm not even mad at the song. Like, they cut, no. Even though, as much as I'm mad about the plot and, like, this note re-entering at this point, when he turns around and sees her, the smile is so cute. Like, much as
I
saw it with
this,
Drew.
It's like the season premiere.
I know. He's good in scenes with her. She's weird casting in some respects, but, like, they get there with the two of them. Like, they don't not have chemistry.
Yeah, it's sort of the same as with Mr. Brooks. Like, she's sort of almost in tears with how touched she is. And mm-hmm. You do have sometimes with another person that sort of like cleansing burst of like, oh, synchronicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she sold it. She's not like the, you know, broadest ranged thespian in the world, but mm-hmm. I bought it. So it took however many episodes. But by the time they finally kissed, it was like, oh, here's actually some chemistry that the beak has with someone.
Yeah.
Hooray. Well done, writers. Like, hey, slow build, construction, trusting your cast. We got it done. Yep. Good job.
Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. I'm going to say Grams. She does not miss in this episode. Every moment with her, a true one, including mm-hmm. referring to Jen at her fishing concert.
Fishing concert. And then the little eye roll when Dawson over-explains widespread panic. Mm-hmm. Grams is a solid choice. I think, again, she showed Dawson grace. She didn't have to, but Dawson kind of maybe has earned that in season 4. Mm-hmm. I will go with Pacey, who was just like quintessentially like younger brother in your corner. Like, once he has all the information, he will go fuck somebody up if that's what you want. And mm-hmm. sometimes it just knowing that he would is exactly what you want. So I guess really it's Joshua Jackson, but mm-hmm. well played all around.
Least valuable player. Whoever put the pink and blue paint line in there, I'm glad they didn't do it, but it's not it. We're not doing this. And we even weren't doing this in 2001.
I would say that how few candidates there are mm-hmm. for this, my heart grew 10 sizes today. Yeah. But I'm still going to say Nick, like, just because know that you're being a cretin doesn't mean you're not.
Good choice.
Next time on Again With This, the Witter family embarrasses Pacey on his birthday. Gretchen is embarrassed by dating Dawson, and in our opinion, there's nothing embarrassing about rooting for Jen to devise a Jack-Toby hookup. I am a little embarrassed at how many of the show's fashions I can confidently identify by page number of the Delia's catalog. You can find out more about my shame in our visual aids. We have done those for every single episode of this year podcast. You can find them, along with the episodes themselves, on our website, againwiththispodcast.com. I'm gender agnostic nursery paint choice Sarah D. Bunting, and I am on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is cheap long-term government loan Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, is like mothers, only pretty. Talk to you next time.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Gorgeous.